Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey, marketers. Today with me, I have George B. Thomas. He is a professional speaker, a HubSpot trainer, podcast host, and video Jedi. And I think there were some more things on the website, but that's as many as I'm naming. Say hi, George.
Hi, everybody. How are you doing today?
There you go. Making sure I didn't lose you. Why are you doing so many things? Do you have too much time on your hands?
Tom, I wish I had too much time on my hands. But as all the marketers out there know, the landscape keeps changing. And I started this game going into marketing and marketing automation and HubSpot and becoming, you know, really, really good at this tool that is HubSpot. They have 18 certifications. I have 16 of them. I train clients every day on how to use this and the inbound strategy or content strategy for the business. But here's the thing, like if you want to communicate with folks, you have to reach them where they're at. And so that led us into, we created a podcast called the Hubcast, which is specific for HubSpot users. I've created multiple since then just because I love podcasting and love being on them and creating content in the audio format. But then video in the last, you know, 18 months to 2 years has just made a resurgence from it being kind of this outsourced, really expensive thing that only certain companies can do to now it's, you know, just streamlined. You can do it with your mobile phone. You can do Facebook Lives, YouTube Lives. It's just a thing that businesses are really now creating more human type content. And so it's just been a natural progression. And, you know, I guess it all boils down to that I love being techie and nerdy and I love creating content.
You know, I just had a conversation after the last podcast recording, just for a few minutes, and I was talking about, you know, trying Facebook Live and other things, and the person was like, Tom, just double down on what works unless you have too much time on your hands. And I kind of agree with that, you know. So if one thing's working for you, I mean, are you really getting so many results from tackling all these other channels?
Well, here's the thing. You never know what's going to work better than what you're doing unless you're testing, right? And so if what I would say to a business owner, whether it's podcasting, whether it's Facebook Live, whether it's social ads, like you could add anything into this, is that here, test it. And if you see like almost an immediate or some type of bump in the needle that is ROI or revenue, then continue on and see. Like the reason that I still do the Hubcast at 169 episodes is because there have been relationships built. There has been money made. And like if we saw after 10, 12, 20 episodes, like, oh man, nobody's listening, obviously, okay, quit doing that. The reason I continue to do video and go out and do video workshops and teach people how to create video is because it's working. And so, you know, here's the thing. I'll tell you something that's very interesting, Tom. In about 6 months to maybe a year, there'll probably be another thing that will be on the website and it'll be conversational marketer, right? Because right now we're playing with a tool called Drift, which is a chat functionality. We're playing with that in combination with HubSpot. And it's about not necessarily needing forms on your landing pages, but being able to convert in a human conversational marketing way. If that works, I'll add that to the list of things that people can look and say, oh, well, yeah, we can talk to him about that.
Can you explain what HubSpot is? I think some listeners probably have no clue.
Yeah, HubSpot is and don't get scared because it is a bit of a monster. There is a marketing side and then there is a sales or CMR side. Phew, got to get those acronyms down. And here's the thing, the marketing side, if you're trying to do anything with, let's just say, lead maintenance or collection, so you need a way that people can give you information, you want to be able to segment them into certain lists so that you can have the right conversation at the right time, then, you know, HubSpot is possibly a good fit for you. If you then want to, by the way, that's lead nurturing, lead collection, lead generation, all in that one little area, because if you want to then nurture them, you've got email tools in there. To actually collect them, you've got landing pages and forms and call to actions in there. And then you can report on these things. So there's reports that you can pull. And again, it all ties back to, hey, if we build this piece of content and they then want to download our ebook, our guide, our checklist, or watch our video series, and if they fill out that form on the landing page, now we can report on, A, what they've done on the site since, and how many of those same types of people have gone through that same path, and what does that actually equal out as revenue at the end of the day. And so there are probably about 37 tools inside of one tool that is the marketing tool. But if you're focused on search engine optimization, creating content, generating leads, then HubSpot is something that you should look into, or one of their competitors, right? It might be Marketo or Pardot or Eloqua or Wishpond or SharpSpring. Like, listen, there's a lot of tools like that in the MarTech space.
Why did you choose HubSpot over all those?
Yeah, for me in 2012, it was kind of this just weird thing where we won tickets to an event called Inbound. And when we got to Inbound, we learned about this tool called HubSpot. And that's fine. That's how we learned about them. But the reason that I dove into HubSpot and that I have stayed with HubSpot and now am a HubSpot accredited / certified trainer and don't even work for the company is because of one thing and one thing only, and that is that they have what is called the HubSpot Academy. And the HubSpot Academy has taken what can be a very nerdy and complex piece of software and broken it down into certifications and the lessons and articles that normal human beings can watch or listen or read and actually understand how to make this monster of a tool work for their business and make the things that you're trying to do way easier than what would otherwise happen, Tom. I mean, Tom, the other alternative other than HubSpot or one of the competitors is you have a WordPress website or something like that, and then you've got landing pages over on lead pages or something like that, and you're sending out your email using a plugin like MailPoet, so you got to log in there, and then you're using a social tool like Hootsuite, so you got to log in there, and like there's all this disjointed like pieces and plugins that you're trying to create into what most of us call a Franken system, or there's one login, one HubSpot, one tool, and then you have the education to follow and learn and use to actually understand how to use the tool.
When I look at HubSpot, it looks like a Chinese menu. Right. So what's the one meal that they actually excel at?
Oh, man. See, that's actually a really good way to say that. If I was to boil down one main course that is super awesome, it's the ability to have lead intelligence on anybody that comes to your website. So one of the places that I spend a ton of time is looking at what contacts have done with my marketing. So for instance, they come to the website, they fill out a form, and this may sound creepy. And if you're like, you know, if you're using marketing for evil, it may be, but since we're using marketing for good, it isn't. If somebody comes to a website or one of our clients' websites, they'll fill out a form, and we all know that they can drop a cookie in our browser. And now I can go into the contact database of HubSpot, and I can see, oh, this contact opened or didn't open my emails. This contact watched or didn't watch that video, or that contact only watched 74%. 4% of the video, or here's the 13 pages of that that contact has viewed in the last 30 days, and really paint a picture of the journey. But what's nice about that is you, instead of like looking at an individual noodle on the plate that is the Chinese food that we're talking about, you can also step back and look at all the noodles on the plate and go, oh, wow. If most of the noodles convert on this page and then view these five pages, they end up becoming customers. And that's when it gets magical.
That is interesting. So when you're coaching people, do you coach them more on how to actually grow their business or how to use this tool?
Both. So every lesson I do, and by the way, on if you go over to our YouTube channel, which is Mastering HubSpot, you're going to see videos that I do that are super tactical, like here's how to do something in the tool. And you're going to see some interviews that I have done with people that are going to be more of like, hey, here's just a piece of the strategy. But if you're one of our clients and you have like a weekly standing meeting with us, every week what we do is we talk about the tool, the tactic, and the strategy that you should be doing with that piece of the tool. And so what ends up happening is it is a roadmap over time to here's the micro and macro strategies to grow your business. And so we've seen people go from like minimal website visits, zero lead conversions, to just enormous amounts of visitors because they've created quality, amazing content on their blog or their website pages or pillar content. And then because along the way we were paying attention to call to actions and chat conversions and forms and the way that we can build those that humans are going to love, they have massive amounts of lead conversions that they didn't once have before. And we all know that if we can increase the conversion percentage 1, 2, 5, 10x what has happened historically, and continue to do the same thing that we've always done on the sales side of it, and that is close every possible deal, well, we're getting more at-bats. We're able to close more deals. We generate more revenue. And of course, that is in its essence, hey, here's how to do better business.
You know, as my friends know, and some listeners already, anytime I hear create amazing quality content, a little puke comes in the back of my throat, you know?
There is no other content, but how do you express that,
yes,
right? How do you say without being a douchebag, hey, you can't create crap and be successful?
So the question is, describe for me and the listeners, what is quality content? I mean, if you've to have taken so many of these companies on this journey, help us out.
Yep, there's a couple elements. One, it has to be unbiased. You can't write a piece of content or create a video that is like a me, 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 this is why we're awesome type of content. It has to be like, hey, here's the pros and cons, or it's some type of versus article. It also, if it's going to be quality content, it's probably created around the way that the searcher is going to search. So one of the things that we always talk about is the big five. So when you go to search things, you will search Ford versus Chevy. You'll also search best truck for XYZ. You'll search, you know, pros and cons, massive reviews. Like there's ways that you type things in. Cost. What is the cost of this thing? That inherently you're trying to get an answer to a question. If it's quality content, it answers the question. It helps solve the problem. It's done in an unbiased way. And then if you want to really hit the top notch, it's not just education, but it's entertaining. And there's a point of it that teaches you how to execute. So, right, entertaining, educational, actionable, executable pieces of content that come from a very human place. Like these are like, put all that in a pot, stir it up, dump it out, boom, you've got what would be some amazing content.
Does that work for every niche? Because I'll tell you this, in the crypto space, 90% of the content is biased. It's me, me, me. It's sort of entertaining and it's ranking and getting a ton of traffic.
Well, I can tell you historically, Tom, that we have worked with plastic surgeons, we've worked with car manufacturers, we've worked with data collection agencies, we've worked with mom and pop shops, we've worked with mid-sized businesses, enterprise level businesses, and this process, this content creation, this being unbiased, this answering customer questions. You know, if they ask, you answer, as Marcus Sheridan would say, and the book has been written, it has worked across the board.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine so, especially in somebody's local business and like more, I guess, stable niches. You know, crypto is super unstable, but, you know, there's so much.
But Tom, if it's super unstable, inherently for human beings, that means we're going to have more questions. If we have more questions about something that is unstable, that means there's more reason for educational content to be there. And the guy or gal who can create that educational content about an unstable space in the moment, almost newsjacking, is going to win whatever they're trying to win at.
Let's talk about newsjacking. I'm super glad you brought this up. can you explain what that is and how would you use it?
Yeah, newsjacking is just paying attention to what's happening in your space. And I'll give you a couple examples around HubSpot and what I've done lately. And you can take this to your business and use it. But it's in the moment, seeing that something that is of interest or is going to be a big deal that you can get into the conversation and leverage. So, for instance, one of the things that HubSpot announced about 30 days ago was that they are sunsetting their keywords tool. And so you won't be able to do keyword research right inside of HubSpot. However, there's going to be other tools that you'll be able to use for search engine optimization. Now, inherently, everybody started to lose their mind. HubSpot users were like freaking out. And so I created a video where I did an interview with two HubSpot employees that are near and dear to the sunsetting of this tool. By far, it is one of the most watched videos that we have because it was a passionate point that people were like super pissed about, frustrated. Who's moving my cheese? How am I going to do my work? But I came at it of like, hey, let's chill out for a second. Let's talk about what this really looks like in the future. What aren't we thinking about that might show up? And it's just done amazing. The other thing is HubSpot just released an integration with Instagram. You haven't really been able to post from a third-party piece of equipment. And now HubSpot, you can go in and you can post to Instagram. Another one of my videos that watched madly, insanely amount compared to some of the other what might be just normal tutorials. So let's think about like cryptocurrency. You brought that up. Like there's always something happening in that space. Like somebody did this or this company did that or there's this new thing, this security breach. Like if you're talking about those things in the moment and people are on Twitter or Facebook, LinkedIn, wherever, and they're like highly involved in the cryptocurrency space and you're hitting on the mark the things that they need to learn or know about in the moment and being nimble, like you can so beat out other competitors by playing in that space.
So let me ask you this, because I bet a lot of people are thinking now, maybe I can get in on this newsjacking thing. Which platform would you use, and then how would you redistribute the content? So for example, like with the podcast, a lot of people would do transcriptions, then making them into articles. But when it comes to being nimble, you got to act fast, right? So a podcast maybe needs to be scheduled, or a content needs a lot of research and time to be written so that news will pass. And we know the attention span of an average person, right? So
yeah,
can you kind of give me your thoughts on that whole process?
Well, the easiest thing is video, to be honest with you. Like you spin up a video, you talk about what you know, you've done a little bit of research to get on and at least be part of the conversation. And you can then say to people, hey, stay tuned. We're going to be talking about this more next Wednesday at 4:00. Well, what that does is you immediately get in the conversation. You've bought their attention because you're one of the people that haven't slowed themselves down to do a mass amount of investigation to, you you know, dice it 27,000 different ways from Tuesday, and you've given them a point. Oh, well, we need to reconnect with Tom Wednesday at 4 o'clock on this platform, whether it be YouTube or Twitter or Facebook. Maybe you're doing a Facebook Live for this video. It depends where you've actually created your kind of community. Like if your community's on Facebook, you're going to do a Facebook Live. You're going to talk about, oh my gosh, breaking news. We're going to do, you know, a deeper dive into it at Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Make sure you tune back in. Here are the 7 points we're going to talk about. And now you get your ducks in a row and you go and you do your video and you're off to the races. But I will tell you, Twitter for me is a very in the moment platform where, like, for instance, when I do these tutorials or these interviews and it's cutting edge and I know that I need to get it out there quickly, I'm going to put it on Facebook because that's where my community is. It's going to launch on YouTube because most of the stuff I do is video. But then I immediately go over to Twitter because not only can I share that content, but I can use hashtags like they're supposed to be used. And anybody who is paying attention to that conversation or a hashtag around said conversation, I'm going to be able to pull them into the conversation. And so video, Twitter, and then making sure you're paying attention to where your community is by far a win-win situation for newsjacking. And here's the thing. If you want to learn more about newsjacking, then you need to pay attention to the guy who basically has talked about it from, I don't know, maybe a bazillion stages, and that is David Meerman Scott, because he is like a newsjacking baller, and will give you a ton of great examples on how to do this.
Okay, I'm writing them down. Put them in the show notes. The newsjacking king.
There you go.
So the one piece of video that you would make, and I'm not sure how long you can kind of tell us that, but the one piece of video would go to your community on Facebook, then you would put that same piece of content on YouTube, and then you would put that same piece of content again on Twitter with the right hashtags. Am I correct?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that you could do here. First of all, I'm usually starting with YouTube, and then I'm pointing my Facebook back to the YouTube. But that's just the strategy that I'm using. If Facebook is like, I'm not going to do YouTube, but I'm just going to do Facebook, then yeah, start with Facebook if that's where your major community is. At this point, we're trying to build a community on YouTube because that's our long play. That's what we're going to go with because video is just what we're doubling down on. One thing that you can do in here, though, is you could add an element to – so the whole piece of content might be on YouTube. You actually create a teaser that goes onto Facebook and a teaser that goes onto Twitter. So maybe it's 30 seconds, 45 seconds. Maybe it's a minute and you're just trying to entice them to go watch the 7-minute or 15-minute or 45-minute video that does a deeper dive of the conversation. I've tested both ways. Sometimes I just put the full piece of content. Sometimes I use teasers. I'll be honest with you, a lot of times when it's just the full piece of content, where they're at, where they're used to being, works really, really well.
So then the next question is, if you build up this traffic, how do you then move them into a funnel where they actually buy something?
Yeah, I love that, you know, because we got to be salesy. The thing about it, if you add value to people's lives, inherently they're going to find a way to buy from you. But as a marketer, you should definitely be paying attention to call to actions. And these call to actions can be everything from at the bottom of the blog article that you've written or the sidebar of your website page, or when you're talking about doing things that are more podcast-based or video-based. If I'm on a podcast, I can say, hey, if you want to get our monthly newsletter, just text Hubcast to 772. And by the way, I'm not going to finish any numbers because somebody will try to actually do that. And that's not what we're here for. But in video, I'm also going to then say something at the end. Hey, make sure you know if you like this video, subscribe. If you want instant notifications, hit the bell. And make sure that you check out the links below for all the needed assets that you'll need around this topic. Until next time, be a happy, helpful human and go out into the world and do some happy hub spotting, right? So there's some things in there that I'm not saying, hey, buy my junk, But I'm saying make sure it's valuable down there. You have to look. And so those links will take them to places, whether it's the ebook, the guide, the checklist, the video series, that instead of being on a social platform, they do come back to my home base. I do start to possibly use another set of tools like Vidyard or Wistia or something like that, where I can track a lot of what's happening. It just depends. There's like 100 different ways you can dice it. But don't go at this content like in a salesy way. Go at your content in a very, I'm going to be human and add as much value as I can. Look, listen, Gary Vaynerchuk, right? Jab, 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 right hook. And so you just give, you give, you give, you give, and then you finally ask. And it just, it works out. Like being human and being helpful is always the way of the hero marketer.
I like that. That could have been a video of its own, like a motivational speech for marketers.
Hey, maybe one of these days.
Maybe one of these days. So how often per week do you try to news jack? Because there's so much news coming out, right? So it's one of these things like, which news do you pick? Like how much time would you spend on something like that?
Yeah, so let's step back about 50,000 foot and actually just say with all of our clients, what we're trying to get them to do is to produce 2 to 3 pieces of content a week. Now, if that's a newsjacking piece, that's fine, but there's no reason just to jack news to jack news. It's got to be something, again, that you feel is going to be super relevant and there's going to be a lot of eyeballs around that conversation and that like it's you should be in it, right? Like, so for instance, I'm not going to be a HubSpot marketer and try to newsjack something about like Burger King. Like what? Why am I even in that conversation? But if I'm a, you know, HubSpot marketer and I'm going to newsjack something about how, you know, Salesforce no longer is going to integrate with HubSpot. Holy crap. And that didn't happen, by the way. But if it did happen, it would be something that I would want to be part of that conversation. So I don't think you're trying to say, oh, we got to do newsjacking 3 times a week. We're just looking at an overarching strategy of like, ooh, this is happening. Let's do it. And so you may only newsjack once a month. You may only newsjack once a quarter, but consistently you're going to be creating other content, interviews, educational content, email signature videos, like whatever that you can use in your whole sales and marketing process, 2 to 3 pieces a week.
What is email signature videos?
I threw that out as a little crumb to see if you would pick that up, Tom. So one of the things that we do with all of our clients is we have them do email video signatures. It's anywhere from 30 to 60 seconds long. It goes in your signature that you already have that's probably like a little picture of you, and it's got your name, and it's got your website, it's got your job title. But right below that, you put another image that looks like has a play button on it. And next to that, you might put like a 1-line or 2-line description of who you are and dot, dot, dot it so it teases it out. But when they click on that image, it will take them to an unlisted YouTube video or a video that you have on Wistia, wherever you want to host it, it doesn't matter. But it takes them to a video where inherently over that 30 seconds to 1 minute, they learn who you are as a human being and what your thought leadership or what your sales professionalism or how whatever you want to think of this, whoever you are out there listening, they will immediately know who you are. And so, for instance, I might come on and say, hey, this is George B. Thomas from Impact Branding and Design. By the way, I am a HubSpot nerd. I've got 16 out of the 18 possible certifications. I train people on a daily basis how to get more ROI out of their software and out of their business. Also a father of 4, husband of 1. You know how that goes. And I love long walks on the beach. I'm just kidding, but hopefully I'll see you. If you have any questions, make sure you hit reply because I'm always in your inbox. Boom. Like if you watch that video, inherently you know who I am. I'm a little bit funny. I'm a little bit nerdy. I'm a family guy. Gosh, I start to trust this dude. Let me hit reply and ask him if I'm supposed to do this thing when I'm setting up HubSpot.
That's super helpful. Yeah, I've never thought about doing that. We all focus on the pictures and the signatures and the links, but I've never seen anyone send me a video in that signature part.
It's coming. We're teaching it all over the world. Like every video workshop we go out and do, we're like, this is strategy number one. Get all of your sales guys to do this video. Get it in your signatures, because our emails are the number one marketing channel that we're not leveraging to its full potential.
Expand on that a little bit.
Look, how many emails do you send a day?
Depends.
A lot. Just say a lot, Tom. Well, Tom, just say a lot.
No,
because
no,
we all know
no,
we hate email. No. We hate email.
I will not say that because I have my team sending almost all the emails.
There you go. So how – okay, so then now multiply it. How many emails are your team sending in a day? Let's just say if we had 10 employees, they would send probably at least 20 to 50 emails a day, right? So if you do the quick math, that's a lot. A lot of email goes out, and we have the potential to have a short video that really shows who we are as a person or who we are as a company that we are not leveraging day in and day out just to do the work that it could possibly do for us. Instead, we have these signatures that nobody pays attention to that do nothing for us but tell people what our job title is and our phone number, and we pray every day, God, please don't call me on this number.
Yeah, that's. I think for the sales team, that's brilliant. For some of the other roles, like, you know, I have an assistant that helps me get interviews and schedules people. And she does such a tremendous job. I mean, I told her to just hit up two lists, small lists of people, and she booked 35 interviews in like 6 weeks, right? So if she actually did a better job, like, I can't handle it. So, you know, so in that regards, you know, but with the sales, I do see that because we do sell some cold emails out for one of the businesses, which is we create online course business.
Yep.
And I could see that being a bit of a personal touch, you know, like someone gets a little message like, this is what we do. But at the end, there's a video too. Yeah, we haven't thought about that.
And you just hit the nail on the head. It's about the personal touches. It comes back to being the most human. Look, one of the things that I do when I wake up in the morning and I go to bed at night is that I focus on three words, Tom, and that is happy, helpful, human. And you heard me say it in my little like pseudo like exit of a video, right? Be a happy, helpful human and go out into the world and do some happy hub spotting. I focus on those three words when I wake up in the morning and when I go to bed, because if your marketing as a person or your marketing as a company can focus on being happy, meaning no douchebaggery allowed, and being, you know, helpful, value, utility, as Jay Bear would say, and then human, like humble and empathetic and unbiased, then your content, your marketing, your personal brand, business brand, like, it will gain trust quicker. People will start to like, know, and trust you and inherently want to purchase from you because you care. You care deeply about solving the problem that they're facing.
What do you mean by unbiased? Because none of the business owners listening to this are creating fake news. At least I hope they're not. Or, you know, they're not Fox and CNN trying to battle. You know, like when I was watching the presidential elections, a different person was winning at the same time on both channels, which was hilarious, right? So
yeah, yeah.
So I just wonder, you know, when you say create unbiased content, as let's say a dentist, how what would that look like if it was biased, you know?
Yep. So here's the thing. If I'm a dentist and I'm creating the five best places to get a root canal in Norfolk, Virginia, am I one of those five places on that list? Yes or no?
Of course.
No, I'm not. I'm not on that list. You know why I'm not on that list? Because you're already on my website. So here's what I do in the intro of this. I say, you know, as being one of the top dentists in Norfolk, Virginia, I always get asked the question, Bobby, if I wasn't going to use you for my root canal, who else would I use? And as the ultimate dentistry thought leader, I came up with five folks who I would be willing to go and have a root canal done if I couldn't do it myself? And you list out those five people, and it's just, this is their address, and they've been in business this long and whatever. And then you write the rest of the content however you want to write it. But the idea is, in that first paragraph, you already positioned yourself as a thought leader. In the fact that you wrote five best places to get a root canal in Norfolk, Virginia, they're already on your website. They already believe that you're the person they should be paying attention to. And the reason I bring this up is because Marcus Sheridan, when he was still at River Pools, wrote an article very much like that, and would even go as deep as to list the competitors of the pool company that he was at. And people would say, you know, I was just about ready to buy the pool from XYZ company, but I came across this article where you said five best pool manufacturers in XYZ. And I figured, man, this thing was written in such a way, I should probably check you guys out. Now, Tom, I would only tell you this story if I know that the outcome is that they end up buying from that company that doesn't list themselves, that does have these articles in a way that they present themselves, or videos, they present themselves as a thought leader without saying, hey, I'm a thought leader. Or, hey, you should buy our stuff.
Yeah, so the reason I thought they would list themselves is I was not thinking of their own website, right? So a lot of these type of lists, they go on other bigger sites like Medium or Steemit, or ones which you know will rank if you put the right things in. And for most of those, I would see the people putting themselves in. Yeah, on their own website, yeah, that would be such a douchey move. But,
but here's the thing. When you talk to 97% of owners, they, yes, of course I would. Why wouldn't I? And that's the key to trying to start to teach what is the word unbiased. No, you wouldn't. You've already won. Like, you're already so far ahead of your competition that you don't need to put yourself in there. They're already there. Now, Tom, I totally agree with you. If I'm doing this on a different platform other than my home base, I would probably add a little tidbit, but I wouldn't go into a full-fledged rant of why I'm awesome, because we've all tried to hang out with that guy or gal at the bar, and it's all about me, me, me. Nobody really wants to hang out, and we're trying to find out how we can go to the bathroom or refill our beverage or something, right? And so we don't want to be that person or that business online either. We got to be careful of the disease that is me, me, me disease.
I usually found that just going to the bathroom without saying anything is the best option.
There you go. Hey, I'm out.
Not even that. You just assume that everyone knows you have to go, and you just walk to the bathroom. George, this was great. I really appreciate you coming on. Where can people find you?
Yeah, definitely. So if you have questions about anything that we have covered today, you can definitely hit me up on the Twitters at George B. Thomas. On Facebook, it's Mr. George B. Thomas. And if it's really, really, really important, then you can always just hit me up on my email, which is gthomas@impactbnd. That's like boy, Nancy, Delta, bnd.com. So, yeah, I'm always open for conversation, Tom.
Awesome. Thank you again for coming on.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect, Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.